James chapter 1, verse 19. The Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And I really didn't have a title for this message. I think I'll just call it "Slow to Speak." Or you might subtitle it "The Fickleness of Men." Acts chapter 28 is where I wanted you to look. Acts chapter 28, verse 1. The Bible says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang onto his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered him not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." We're going to stop there. Lord, bless your word this morning. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Bless every person here. Have your way in this service. May the Holy Spirit instruct us today. We need you, Lord Jesus. I ask it in your name, and amen. This preceding chapter, we're not going to review it much, but it talks about Paul being in a storm. Paul was in a terrible storm, and if I can figure it out chronologically, it looked like it was about a 2-week storm. Can you imagine being tossed around in the ocean for that long a time? And there was about 276 people on board. So this was a pretty good sized ship, being tossed around for 2 weeks with a lot of people on board. And in the midst of the storm, they had to throw off all the cargo, and it just looked like it was going to be the end. But an angel of the Lord appeared to Paul, an angel of God appeared to Paul and told him that it was going to be all right. And if you look back just a couple, maybe a page in your Bible, in verse 22 of chapter 27, it says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God.'" Shouldn't we all? He says, "For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." So Paul knew everything was going to be all right. Even though they were going through this terrible storm, even though they had to throw over the cargo, even though the ship was going to be lost. The ship was going to be lost. But yet the angel of God said there'll be no loss of life. And it's going to be, you're going to Caesar. I want to remind you that because all the storms of life cannot frustrate or thwart the purposes of God. All the storms of life cannot frustrate the purposes of God. The storms are as much as God's plan as the smooth sailing. We like the smooth sailing. But I want to let you know that the storms are as much as God's plan as the smooth parts. God had told Paul that he was going to Rome to stand before Caesar, and so he would. God said none of the people on the ship with Paul would die, and none died. God tells us if we'll trust Jesus Christ, His Son, to be our propitiation, our Lord, our Savior, He'll save us, and He will. As His children, we have to realize by faith that everything comes into our life for His purpose and our good and His glory. You say, you don't know what's happened to me. No, I don't know what's happened to you, but I can tell you, God has a plan. And whatever's happened to you, God has a purpose. And whatever happens to you, God, in the end, is going to get the glory. And here's the part that we don't grasp too good, too well. Those things that come into our life that we don't care for, like this storm Paul went through, it's for our good. In this passage concerning Paul and these barbarous people, I find three simple lessons I want to share with you this morning. Number one, the fickleness of men. The fickleness of men. Number two, the steadfastness of God. I'm glad for that. The steadfastness of God. And number three, the danger of hasty judgment. The danger of hasty judgment. So number one, I want us to consider the fickleness of men. That word fickle means wavering, unstable, or not fixed. In other words, people are fickle. People are fickle. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If I can change your mind every 3 or 4 minutes, you've got a problem. If you go through life just jumping around, never settle down anywhere, you're not going to plant any roots, and you're going to have a problem. The bad thing is men will love a person one day and hate them the next. Also, and we see it here in this passage, you can't trust popular opinion. Popular opinion can change like the weather. People can say, like they did Paul here, they'll say murderer 1 minute, and the next minute he's a god. That's rather astounding, I think. Back in Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas had healed a crippled man. And when they did it, the people thronged them and crowded around them and said, the gods have come down from heaven. These men are gods. The next couple verses, they've stoned Paul and threw him outside of the gates of the city. I've seen this, and you have too. I've seen it in families. I've seen it in churches. I've seen it at the workplace. I mean, it's like this. Boy, I love my new car. I just love my new car. 2 weeks later, it's a piece of junk. Let me get a little personal. We love our new preacher. You got to come hear our new preacher. We love our new preacher. A few months later, though, they're trying to kick him out. We love our new son-in-law. He is such a sweet guy. I'm so glad he married my daughter. We love our new son-in-law. Or daughter-in-law, whatever the case may be. Boy, I got a new job. I love my new job. People are fickle, aren't they? We all are. if the Apostle Paul would have died of that viper bite, he'd have died a murderer, in their opinion. Because they said he's got to be a murderer. I mean, okay, he made it through the shipwreck, I'll give you that, but look, this snake's got a hold of him now, so he's got to be a murderer. So the fickleness of men. Can I tell you something, folks? And I've told you this a lot. We've all got our problems and we've all got our warts. We've all got our faults. And if you want to pick somebody to death, you can. And you can pick the preacher to death, and you can pick the preacher's wife to death, and I can pick you to death, and we'll just all pick each other to death. But we're fickle people. We're fickle people. These people on this island, they thought Paul was a bad character, but before it was over with, they said he was a great guy. I got news for you. If something else had happened, they would have said he was a bad character again. People are just fickle. I say all that. I just want to remind you, try not to be like that. And even if you feel, I don't remember who said it, but maybe it had been my dad, but you don't have to say everything you know. If you know something about somebody, maybe y'all just keep your mouth shut. You know, like Granny used to say, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. Because we're fickle. You know, a lot of people just like you as long as you're doing something for them. Right? The minute you stop doing something for them, you're a bad guy. So you can't trust popular opinion, and you got to watch your being fickle. We don't want to be like these folks. And secondly, I'm glad to report to you that God is steadfast. The steadfastness of God. God is steadfast in sickness and in health, isn't he? God is steadfast in good times and in bad times. God is no fair weather friend, is it? God is steadfast in sunshine and in the rain. God is steadfast in life, and he's steadfast in death. The Bible says, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. God's steadfast, isn't he? I noticed something about that flood we had a couple years ago. The gambling joints and the beer joints got flooded just like the preacher's house. It rains on the just and on the unjust, doesn't it? The hymn writer said, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. It may seem like a frowning providence. It may seem like a bad thing coming into your life, but we know that all things work together for good. God has a purpose, doesn't he? He's steadfast. The Bible says that we are to be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie wait in to deceive. I say that because since God's steadfast, we should try to be steadfast rather than be fickle. God's not fickle. We shouldn't be fickle. We should know what the Bible says and base everything on that and not be tossed about by opinions and theories and ideas. Paul told those, remember I read it to you a minute ago, those men, don't you think they were scared to death on that ship? And here's Paul, you know what he says to him? Be of good cheer, for I believe God. Be of good cheer, Paul knew that God was steadfast, and so Paul was going to be steadfast. And you and I need to be steadfast. We are to be steadfast because we serve a steadfast God. We're to be anchored to this book right here. And trusting, we are to trust in a God who loves and cares for you and will never forsake us. So when I say be steadfast, I'm not telling you that without a basis. We have a reason that we can be steadfast. You know, the world is fickle. The world will promote a man to the nth degree and then cut him down the next day. And a lot of times men deserve that. The problem is we probably shouldn't have never put him up there. And then we wouldn't have had to brought him back down here. But men do that, don't they? So the fickleness of men. And by the way, let me just say this real quick. As Christians, if you're somebody's friend who's a Christian and they go off the wrong way, you ought to still be their friend. Now, you might not be able to run around with them and you might not be able to communicate with them like you used to or whatever. You might not be able to go to their house and them come to your house. But I'm telling you what, you can still be their friend. And that goes for me. I'm a preacher. That goes for preachers I disagree with over the years. I can still be their friend. And I try to be. Because I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we need friends. We need friends, don't we? Thirdly, the danger of a hasty judgment. Men often jump to conclusions, don't we? Boy, I'm telling you, this whole human nature God has given us and it's fallen because of the fall, we're a mess. We can jump to some fast conclusions. We can make some pretty quick judgments about people when we don't know really what's going on if we're not careful. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." And a lot of times I think we judge people and judge things before we know what's really going on, before we hear what's happening. It's not uncommon. I'd say it's common for people to think the worst of people. For instance, and this is, I've done this. Come out here on Saturday morning, or come out of here after studying on Saturday morning and pick up a beer can in the churchyard. The guy down the road drives by and sees me with it in my hand. Is he going to think the best of the preacher or the worst of the preacher? We just do that, don't we? And not only that, he'll go over to Speedway and say, "I saw that preacher over there at the Baptist church with a beer in his hand a minute ago." The crowd's often wrong, isn't it? As a matter of fact, the crowd's normally wrong. One fellow said any old fish can go downstream. It takes a live fish to swim upstream. And a lot of times the crowd just beware of a mob mentality. One of the problems in this country, if I can say it this way, and I'll be honest with you, one of the problems in public education is people are taught to think a certain way rather than to think for themselves. You ought to be able to think for yourself, folks. Think about this. When bad things happen to people, I'm talking about church life now. I'm talking about Christians. When bad things happen to people, you know what the Christian usually thinks? "I wonder what she's done wrong. I wonder what he's done. But when bad things happen to us, you know what we think? We think, why do I deserve this? When our neighbor, when bad things happen to them, we think, they probably had that coming. But when bad things happen to us, we're like, what? What? If something happens to my neighbor, I think, well, that's what they get, I guess. She did back over my bell box last month, didn't even tell me, even though I saw her do it. But when something bad happens to me, you know what I say? Brother Tim's, pray for me, brother. I'm under attack of the devil. I'm such a good Christian. The devil's attacking me. I believe what Leonard Ravenhill said, the devil probably don't even know who you are. You're no threat to the devil, probably. Devil gets a lot of credit for the stuff we do to ourselves. If somebody's kid goes prodigal, somebody's kid goes sideways on them, we know exactly what we would have done earlier in the parental stages to fix that. We know exactly what they did wrong as parents. I can tell you why he did that. I can tell you why he went wrong. I can tell you why little Bobby went wrong. But when one of ours goes prodigal, you know what we say? We say it's them kids down there at the church. It's them kids at that Christian school or that over at the public school, or it's them hypocrites at the church. Yeah, am I getting through? I can't tell if that's pain in your eyes or if you're just sleepy. I don't know. I'm trying to help you. Don't be so quick to judge people. And by the way, if somebody's kids goes prodigal, even if they were a stupid parent, they don't need to be kicked. God help us. Right? We need to do better. We need to do better. When Paul was snake bitten, they said, well, that's good enough for him. He's probably a murderer. But when he didn't kill over right away, they said, well, he must be a god. And that'd be funny, except we're all like that. I see that in myself. I don't care for it. Maybe that's why the Bible says, who art thou that judgest another? I'm going to give you four lessons. We're done. Number one, you're not going to ever manage to please men, so don't bother. Just try to please God. It didn't matter whether Paul was snake bit or doing great. It didn't matter. He couldn't please everybody, could he? You're not going to manage to please men. Just worry about pleasing God. Secondly, men are fickle, but our God is unchanging. And He has a purpose for everything that comes into our life. I got to tell you, my life's a storm right now. It's just absolute, as Les Rucker, my old buddy, you say, it's a train wreck. But you know what? In the back of all that, I've got it in my mind that He has a purpose for what's going on. And you know what? Just having my dad get saved shows me that's the case. But I'm just like that fella that said, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. I need the grace of God to help me. Don't you? He has a purpose. God's unchanging. Men are fickle. Men will let you down. But God's unchanging. Thirdly, it's wrong to think that all bad things that come into people's lives are judgment. You remember that's what Job's friends did. It's wrong to think that. And we need to break ourselves of that. Not every bad thing comes into somebody's life is a judgment. I worry about that, because I'm telling you, I got a lot of bad things have come into my life in the past few years. And I wonder if people look at me and say, well, I wonder what he's done. Well, the fact of the matter is some of the best Christians, and I don't think I'm a good Christian by no means, but some of the best Christians have had severe trials in the Bible and even in life's experiences, haven't they? You can't go by that. Hey, some of the worst people in the world have had easygoing, smooth-sailing lives. Didn't care about God, didn't care about Christianity, didn't care about the Bible, didn't care about salvation, but they've had a smooth journey. You can't look at that and say, it's difficult, isn't it, sometimes. Even Job, when he was going through all that, wondered, what have I done here? Because Job, see, he couldn't read Job chapter 1 where it said, Job chapter 2 where it said God said he was a perfect man and eschewed evil. And Job didn't know how God felt about it. Number 4, it's wrong to conclude that all good things come into our lives or into other people's lives as blessings. Good and godly people often have great trials, and ungodly people often are quote unquote blessed. You can't make a hasty decision about these things. And by the way, if you're saved, God's purchased you. And you're the clay, and he's the potter. And I hate to tell you this, but he can do whatever he wants to with you. And I have to tell you this, whatever he does is all right. And that ought to be our attitude. Whatever he does is all right. I'm reminded of a story Vance Havner said. And it reminds me so much of my own grandpa because he was like this. I'd be out there playing in the yard and he'd say, come on. He'd have the car keys in his hand. He'd say, come on. But anyway, this grandpa come out of the house one day and he had his car keys in his hand and he was walking toward the truck and he looked over at the grandson who was playing in the dirt there in the yard and he said, come on. He said, where are we going? Grandpa never stopped, got in the truck, started up, backed out of the driveway and left. Come back, of course, the little boy was distraught, crying. Got back out of the truck and the little boy said, why'd you leave me? Grandpa said, well, I figured if you wanted to go with me, it didn't matter where we was going. I'm telling you, if you're going to go with God, it don't matter where we're going. Wherever he takes us. Isn't that what we sing? Where he leads me, I will follow. Yeah, we sing that. That's another thing Vance ever said. He said, if you want to hear Christians' lies, just listen to them sing hymns. All to Jesus I surrender. I better stop. I'm meddling. I brought this message. God laid this on my heart yesterday. We need to be careful about being fickle. We need to be careful about being hasty in our judgments. We need to remember that God, he'll never let us down. He's steadfast. Isn't that good? If you're not saved today, he'll save you. Amen. I'm glad for that. The love of God, if the ocean was made of ink and the skies were parchment, and every man was a a scribe by trade. They couldn't write the love of God. I love it. I serve a great God. If you're saved, you do too. Come ahead, Brother Jonathan.